Welcome to the Recruitment Roundup with Toby and Nadia of Harrington Star. This is our one podcast a week where we talk about us and our passion for great recruitment, because 5 days a week we shine a light on individuals making waves in the world of financial technology. So on a Sunday, we bring you the Recruitment Roundup. Now, this week has been a really, really big week for Harrington Star, and I'm super excited because we hit 100,000 followers. It's such a line in the sand for us. Having started the business back in 2010 in a small room in Waterloo, I've got particularly nostalgic about this moment. And I wanted this podcast to be sharing some of our early days challenges, some of our best moments, obviously, and also some of our most important lessons. I think that there's many businesses out there right now that are going through very, very early stage growth. And I don't know whether we talk about this enough, like just the ins and outs of what it's really like when you start a business and how you get it off the ground. And look, we always say we're never going to be there and it's not going to be ever done. But, you know, what a milestone this has been. So, Toby, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts and what went through your mind when you saw the gift that Lydia put out. I think it was on Wednesday that did the count ticker up to 100,000 followers.
Well, first and foremost, my initial thought on that was a really cool gif. I thought it was really clever. So if you haven't seen it, have a look at the Harrington Star LinkedIn page, and it's a ticker which takes us over the 100,000 follower mark. The second thing I thought about was why and what we thought about with the business right from the start, which is about giving as much value as we possibly can could do. So when I think about 100,000 followers, I think it's, you know, the immediate sensation, the immediate feeling I get from that is responsibility to give value to every single one of those people who's taken the time to follow our business. And I did a little bit more of a deep dive on it when it started to get close to 100,000, and I was looking at where it is, and it's literally all over the world. There are people there in the percentages. LinkedIn will break down the percentage of where, you know, your followers are, and there's a lot in the UK and the US, as you'd imagine, but it spreads literally all over the globe. And when I think about that and think about, right, what's, you know, what do those people follow Harrington Star for and what do they want to see? One of the things we've always said, and I think, you know, we continue to evolve in this and sort of espouse that value of kindness, to look at it and say, right, what are people looking at, you know, for from us? What are the topics there that are important to it? How can we help people come back to that sort of purpose of the business, which is to be a growth business? Your success, our business, is about growing people's brands. It's about growing people's teams. It's about growing people's networks. It's about growing people's careers. So I look at it and I think, geez, you know, now we've got 100,000 people who are following us there. I know that that's moving at an incredible pace, and we'll be talking about 150,000 people before we know it, and then we'll be talking about 200,000 people before we know it. The responsibility there is to make sure we're adding value, that when people are following this business, that they're getting great advice, not from us, but from, you know, just from us, but from the people we talk about on the podcast. We're allowing people to see things that are going to help move them further forward. So my immediate reaction was, as I said, that is a cool bit of content that went out there. The second one was to say, right, this now means that we've got to raise the game again and make sure we are adding consistent, brilliant value to the people who've taken time to follow us out there. What about you?
As if we planned and practiced this, which I promise you, listeners, we definitely.
You absolutely am. You wouldn't even tell me it before when you kicked off the thing of it.
This is an ambush. And the fact that you've gone with the word responsibility, like, this is exactly what the theme of this week is. It's the responsibility to those followers. It's about taking that even further. It's about listening to those followers. And that's something that I remember right from the beginning, that we have always said that recruitment isn't about us dictating things to the market, but instead us listening to the market and responding and trying to get ahead of things by sharing the information. And that's all that we've really dedicated ourselves to doing, to making sure that people are aware of what's going to happen in their interview process. They're aware of what's happening as the tide changes within a marketplace. They're aware of how they need to be talking to people in terms of how they can progress their careers and grow them within their businesses and invest in them. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey so far. But do you know what? One of the first things I said in jest was, oh, well, I don't have to worry about people thinking we're a spa anymore. And actually, I said that to people that don't remember, like, the early days. But, you know, when people didn't know the name Harrington Star, and I'd say, hey, this is Nadia calling from Harrington Star, because, I mean, it was back in 2010, it wasn't any of these sort of LinkedIn pitches or video pitches or voice note pitches that we are so accustomed to now. Networking was nowhere nearly as evolved as it is now. So there was still a large amount of cold calling and picking up the phone, you know, 0800, finding the number, trying to get through to whoever in the building. And you'd say, I'm calling from Harrington Star, and they'd say, oh, a spa? Harrington Spa? And, you know, by the end of the day, you'd be
close enough.
But, you know, that was the experience. And also the experience was that, you know, back then in 2010, people felt much more confident working with recruiter names that they knew. And I think there has been a massive shift just in society, actually. You know, if we go back to 2010 to how we are now, that people actually do have more confidence in newer names, newer companies, companies trying to do new and different things and challenge the status quo of their industry. And that was what we were trying to do in 2010, and what we still continue to do. We're trying to make this industry a better industry that serves the people within it better. We're trying to leave a legacy here. We're trying to leave this marketplace in a better place than it was when, you know, you and I joined it. And I feel like we're really making steps towards that. But in those early days in particular, we really had to work hard to instill confidence in using us, because people didn't feel confident in 3-4 people sat in a room at the back of Waterloo. And our skill sets, our individual skill sets, and what we brought to the game. And actually, you know, we were able to really showcase what the individual can do in the world of recruitment, and what networking really is about, and what adding that value is to the individual, where that really comes from. And then we've been able to grow off the back of that. Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey. And I wanted to ask you about some of your moments from the early days, and any of the things that you really remember as big lessons.
That's a great question. So look, I always say the first memory I have from right at the very, very start was, it was exciting, wasn't it? You just started the business and you're there in an office, and we moved into a serviced office in Waterloo. And it's a little four-person room, effectively, which we crammed a couple more into a little bit later on. But it's this tiny little room. And you're there and you're thinking, right, you've worked, I think, 10, 12 years already at that sort of stage. And it's like, right, now you're a business owner. And I remember the humbling aspect of that was the very first job I had of having a business was they gave us a fridge in the thing that they'd found from one of the other offices. So we made friends with the guys who were running the office, and the handyman who were putting everything up. And they said, look, we've got down the bottom, there's a fridge if you want it. And we said, yeah, that'd be cool. We've got a fridge in the office. It wasn't the done thing those days. And we said, and they bring up this fridge and he opens the door, and it absolutely stinks of rotten milk. So my first job that I did as a business owner was effectively clean out the worst smelling fridge of all time. So I think the first lesson is to remember that when you're doing it, you're not just the salesperson, you're the cleaner of the fridge. You're everything around that. And there's a bit of humility around the fact that you've got to muck in and do everything within it. I remember also one of the very early things was your mum coming into the office in the very early days. And I remember her saying, I can't remember what it was. And it's the first time I'd ever really thought about it. She said, oh, it's really brave to do that. And it was, I thought about that, and I still remember it to this day, sort of 12 years on, of that just one throwaway comment, because I just thought it was the first time I'd ever thought about the fact of is this brave, because it just didn't occur to me that this wasn't inevitable, and I didn't have any doubt whatsoever in starting a business. So when you think about 2010, it was still very much the height of the credit crunch. But I think what the key part of it was is we'd spent a long time getting the plan together beforehand, and I met with Stephen every week for about 6 months just to do it. So it wasn't just a whim, and it wasn't just right set up with no thought process. It was meticulous. It was a meticulous planning of this is what it's going to look like. This is how it can happen. This is who we're going to be speaking to. This is how we build the business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was about people. So, you know, when it was there, and it was, you know, you, me, James and Alex at the time, it was right, this, you know, this is the team that's going to succeed. So I think, the bits that I would take from the very, very start of it all is, number one, make sure you're well planned and you're prepped for that, and you've got a plan which you want to go into. And the second one is make sure you've got people in there who you know are top of the game. And if we go back to lessons over the last 12 years, the one or two type things that we've tried that haven't worked, which are great lessons for us, has generally been about the people we put into those sort of scenarios. And I think if you've got the right hub, the right team at the start of it, the rest of it takes care of itself, which is why I'm so passionate about people, full stop. Mm. What about you? What about your memory lane?
Yeah, loads of memories. So I remember us celebrating hitting our first milestone, which was about £100,000 in GP. The business, yeah. And of course we did that at 8 o'clock on a what was it, Tuesday morning?
We
promised each other that when we do that, like the four of us, like being able to generate that sort of revenue, just us, nothing else.
3 months in.
Yeah, we promised that we would open this bottle of champagne. And of course, I don't drink anymore, but like, you know, no one's good at 8 o'clock in the morning after a glass of champagne, but it was really good fun. I remember doing my first placement for the business, of course. I do remember something that was quite interesting that stuck with me, because it was actually your reaction to it. So those managed service offices, they had loads of other businesses on our floor, and everyone was lovely and we were really welcomed. And I remember two women coming and knocking on our door and saying, oh, so what do you do? What's your business? And I think you and James maybe had answered, you know, we're recruiters. And then they turned to me and said, oh, and what do you do? As if I was the secretary for the business. And I remember your response to that just being like flabbergasted, why would I be the secretary? Like, why is it that people assume that? And actually, I think it's really important to mention that, because now I found my mission, you know, and like my mission always was to add value to this industry and to ensure that people are growing careers within this industry. And what my mission now is actually that people, the definition of that people is wider than it ever has been before. Because this industry, when we spoke about people in 2010, it was this particular demographic. And now we're looking to really open that up. And little instances like that, I think, taking me on a journey, but also you on a journey. But I'm now at the point where, you know, I talk about you a lot and your journey as being my ally and witnessing a lot of the stuff, you know, and I've just given a, you know, tiny example, but, you know, you've been the witness, you've been around to see a lot of the things that just someone deemed as different would have to go through. And I think that actually, however nostalgic and, you know, celebratory I am about the past, I actually celebrate those instances too, because actually I want to shout out to the challenges and the difficulties, because without those, I don't think we would have built such a solid mission and really identified a gap within our marketplace that we need to solve, a problem that we need to solve. And, you know when people say that phrase, every problem is an opportunity in disguise. Well, recruitment is about identifying where the problems are and fixing those problems. And those problems revolve around lack of people, or lack of happy people, or lack of engaged people. And that people is now much, much more than what it ever used to be. And I think that's really, really important in terms of looking at who our followers are, our responsibility to them, how we want to grow that followership even more to people who have never, ever considered this industry. That's a real part of the mission now. So yeah, I wanted to mention that as well. But also there's a couple of other shout-outs. Shout out to Simon Hartley. So, like, wow, he completely changed my whole perception of other people and working with different personalities. And it really taught me a lot about myself. Like, I remember feeling in so many meetings, why is it always me that says I don't agree with that? Or I say, yeah, okay, I do agree with it, because I'm exhausted by saying that I don't. You know, and I did feel like, why is it me all the time? And Simon taught us so much about, is it Jung?
Carl Jung, yeah.
Yeah, the Carl Jung personality spectrum. I'm absolutely obsessed with, you know, learning what people's personality types are, and the fact that we're not all put into boxes. We can all, you know, go outside of our designated box. But really, what he taught me was absolutely fantastic. And I want to give him a shout out, because at the time, I definitely didn't respond to it immediately. In fact, I think I rejected it, you know, like learning about why my personality type is different and why I don't necessarily agree with things and why I do think differently. And it was only later on in my career could I really understand it and now celebrate it. And it's brilliant that we're now in an industry where we're talking about diversity of thought and stress testing a problem and different opinions in a room. And I think that, you know, all the lessons with him was brilliant, especially when it came to you, me and James, you know, in the early days of Harrington Star, because we have very different personality types. And I think that really helped us build this foundation of what this business has become, because we all were supposed to disagree with each other because we're different people.
And learn each other's preferences and understand it and empathise a little bit more from it. So just to put some context onto what Nadia said, Simon Hartley is a psychologist. And I think it was 2013 that we first engaged with him. He did a talk for us for our customers, and we liked it so much and liked him so much that he became very much a part of the dynamic and the fabric of the business. And as a business that was set up, I think, to try and be the best in the world, to have a high performance environment, we felt that actually the mental side of things and the coaching side of things was as important as anything else. So Simon, for a long time, was with us more or less weekly at certain stages, and did a wonderful, wonderful job about educating and coaching and taking all of the team to play at their absolute best within it as well. So love you, Simon. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes me nicely on to the next thing, which was a huge milestone for us when we opened up New York. And now that's where you are right now.
It is.
You like that seamless introduction to that. So tell us a little bit about just the early days of New York, like everything that Rob's been doing and how your week's been there so far.
So the week's been absolutely fantastic. I met some incredible people. The business is growing really nicely. There's a lot of excitement, as every time I come out here. Yeah, I think what you notice is just the size and scale. We've got Hayden coming out, who's just going through his visa piece at the moment. So on the 2nd of August, he'll have his meeting with the embassy and then hopefully come out here very quickly after that. So he's a guy who's just about to move from London to the States. And as we were walking through Manhattan yesterday, I sort of said, just look up at all the buildings. If you haven't been to New York, it's just everything's huge. And there's buildings left, right and centre. And there's no two-story buildings. These are all massive buildings. And I said, look, all of these, and most of them are businesses, right? And if you look at every single building on these streets that go up for miles and miles and miles, every single one of them is packed in there, and there'll be people who are looking for technologists in every single one of these buildings. And when you think of it in that context, I think you just suddenly start to see the level of opportunity we're sat in here in New York. So I'm really, really excited to do it. And going back with Rob and Sarah. So when we started the US, Rob and Sarah were based in London. I think about this all the time, about now how different and how much better things would be for them over that period. So when they were doing that, they were coming at 10, 11 o'clock in UK time, and they'd work till 11 o'clock UK time and then go home. So they would be eating dinner in the office. They'd be sat in the office doing calls with just the two of them in the dark for 8 months. So they started it in January and they left to come out here in August a few years ago. And you just think, right, the flexibility, there's no reason for them to. Yeah, I think it was good that they were in the office at various different stages and had that connectivity. But at the same time, the flexibility that could have been done with the new world that we live in now is just a wonderful thing to think of in hindsight about how, there's always room for improvement in every story. And they came out here and did brilliantly. And I think, what's interesting for me, going back to all the bumps and the lessons and the bruises, is we built it up to be a really good business over here at one stage, and the pandemic hit harder than anywhere else in our business into New York. Rob came back as the sort of leader, came back to the UK, and again, that's been a positive. He's become the COO and really helped improve every efficiency and done a great job within the business. But it meant that we were then rudderless in the States with a young team, and that scaled all the way back. And this is now what I see right now is very much a sort of clean slate in the 2.0. Adam Mills over here is now the general manager, and he's just fantastic. And to spend some time with him and seeing, getting to know him more, seeing and talking about his vision, watching him do the job and the sort of approach he takes into it is brilliant. To spend time with him, with Caitlin, with Pete, with Hayden coming over here, there's so much excitement about what I think this can be and how it develops and what we can do with it. And seeing this team sort of starts grow, we've been interviewing. And I think the key to that is making sure we've got someone in there who's going to raise the average, who's going to be someone who really moves it further forward. And we've got some really, really exciting plans. So I'm very, very enthused about it over here, if slightly weary, because my sleeping pattern goes completely out the door. And we have some fun as well. So I was about to say,
you have the fun as well, don't you?
I'm feeling it, but it's just wonderful, and it's so exciting. I love growth, and I love seeing startups. And to me, this is a startup within the business again. It's a 2.0, and it's a really, really exciting team with a really exciting future behind as well.
Yeah, love that. So for me this week, when I think about my most exciting moment and my biggest lesson, I think I've covered them in what I've said so far, but I wanted to move on to my star of the week, if I may, and I'm going to bring it back to the UK. So I want to talk about Chris Young. So I did a review with him. I hadn't done a review with him before. I didn't know much about how he works. When we did the review, we went through in quite granular detail exactly what sort of activity he's been doing day in, day out, how he's been introducing himself to people, what he's doing to go that extra mile, how he's adding value. And wow, what a steep curve of improvement. I was super, super happy to be involved in it. And Chris, you won't mind me saying, he'd had a couple of days off ill with COVID. And we all know right at the beginning of any new step in your career, if you are blighted with some sort of illness, it could hold you back. And this guy came back with a punch. And what has been absolutely brilliant to see is that has continued throughout the course of this week as well. And all I'm hearing from Ian is good things about the pace, the urgency, the extra mile. So yeah, massive kudos to Chris. Well done.
Come on, Chris. Good work. Should we stay on that quickfire round? Should we do that? So tell us the most exciting thing you've learned this week.
So exciting would be that clicking over to 100,000. I was super happy with it. And biggest lesson, I wanted to actually go way, way back and just everything I said about Simon Hartley. Like, and that is something that you can often overlook. Like somebody that you may not mesh with straight away, you may not understand their perspective straight away, you may not agree with what they're saying. These are not bad things. These are what makes us stronger. And understanding that and having empathy towards it is 100% the way forward. But also giving yourself a bit of a break. That's what Simon Hartley taught me. So, massive lessons there. What about you, Bev? Most exciting moment?
Most exciting moment. So, yeah, look, I'll echo the 100,000, but just not to be easy to jump on the bandwagon. I've said it just a short while ago. This is an exciting opportunity out here. This is seeing a team forming and spending time with them yesterday. We did the summer party, we were, a good rooftop over here in New York, and the sun was shining. And just seeing that sort of team blend and looking at it and thinking, right, there's a quality unit here that gives you the foundation to grow on. That really excites me. So very, very much Team USA, and seeing that be the cornerstone of growth for the business is very, very exciting to me.
Team USA, love it.
Go team.
Yeah. And the lesson of the week for you?
So I feel like I've learned loads this week. I can talk about lots of different bits and pieces, but I think when I look at the last 3 days and I've met lots of different people out here over the last 3 days, I think the thing that I just want to push out, and this is going to sound an obvious thing, but relationships in business are so key. You know, I've spoken about this a few times recently, but I think one of the things I love about this job is the friendships that you make over the years. And I met up with Gavin Marcus out here, who's now over at Standard & Poor's. And he flew in from Boston to do a bit of filming for the documentary that we're doing on the era of convergence. Now, Gavin, I've known for over a decade, and 11 years ago, he came very, very close, as you'll recall, Nadia, to joining us. He was a candidate of ours. And I've seen him now sort of grow and develop and now become a really successful sales leader for S&P. And it was just great sort of catching up with him and seeing how he's brought the family over here. We used to see each other at Richmond Panto every year in the past, and actually to catch up and just see where that goes and recognise that the beauty of this business is decades worth of friendships made up over time. And I think the business isn't just about formality. Business is about creating relationships. And when people look at that and think, right, these are people, there's so many people out there who you can really bond with and want to do well and help each other out, those relationships are what make it fun. So keep the fun into it is definitely the lesson which I'll take on from that. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and a great lesson that I think a lot of people can overlook sometimes. And it's just super, super important to take that step back and remember what you enjoy. And of course, your star of the week, Toby.
Again, it's another week where there could be lots of different contenders for this. But Andy Nitek's come out here, flown out here for this week over to New York. He's done quite a lot of work in the States. Andy runs our cyber business, and part of that has been with a major client. I won't say who, but he's done some amazing work with an international client of ours, and he's flown over specifically to take Adam out and introduce us to the rest of the US business, the wider US business. that meeting went really well earlier this week. But alongside that, he has been an outstanding example to everyone in that office about what, and I was speaking to him about it. He's got a booming voice, a lot of presence. And actually, he is just a machine. Just watching him in that office and just see the constant, as I say, someone who's just joined us recently is sat right beside him for this week. And I was speaking to him last night, and he goes, it's just as soon as one phone call goes down, it's perpetual motion, the next one gets picked up. He's busy, it's happening, you know, and just listening to the guys, being able to see Andy Nitek, the master at work, in his prime, doing deals and creating relationships and doing what he does is I think has been exceptional for them all to see what I think world-class looks like. So it's been a great reminder for me about just how good Andrew Nitek is as a recruiter. He is literally one of the world's best, and it's wonderful to see him in his prime. And loved having him out here. It was his 44th birthday. Thank me for giving him the number, but his 44th birthday yesterday alongside that summer party. So to have him out there and celebrating it with him was a joy. So without question, it's Andy Nitek this week.
I love that. I'm so pleased for Chris and Andy to have got shout outs today. They both thoroughly deserve it. And then the final bit from me, Toby, will be to say, watch this space, because our next mag is out on Monday.
It is indeed. Yeah, very, very excited to put that one out there. The guys have been working incredibly hard. It looks awesome. It is a brilliant magazine, and it's got loads and loads of value from the articles and the insight that's in there through to, you know, the surveys, through to the, you know, the salary advice that we've got and the benchmarking that's involved in there as well. It's a brilliant, brilliant piece of work. And yeah, log in on Monday to see that released. It's going to go everywhere, and we're very, very excited to release it. Watch this space. Anything else from you, Nads?
Just excited to see feedback that we get from next week's magazine. We are constantly looking to, as we started this podcast, we're looking to add value, to answer the questions that people have, to make sure that we are sharing the visibility that we get of the marketplace, of what people are really saying, what people are really thinking, what are the real drivers, why people move, stay, or invest. It's really, really key that we share that, and that's what this magazine's all about. So anything specific, please get in touch with us, because we always love to answer.
Absolutely agree with you. So that's it from us. Thank you so much for listening. We love it. Please do keep on feeding back, telling us what you want to know, what you want to hear about. Please do rate, review, pass the pod on. Like we say, as our follower base is growing on LinkedIn, so is the listenership to the podcast. We're flattered it goes all around the world. That's thanks to you, our tribe, helping push that message a little bit further on as well. So thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Au revoir from me.
Thank you.